Have you ever wondered what it means to build with intention? Well, I'm Matt, and with my co-host Hamish, we are dedicated to pushing boundaries and building better homes. So we welcome you to join us on the Mindful Builder podcast, where we are committed to driving positive change in the building industry by surrounding you with experts in their field and being open about our lives as builders. So join us on this mindful journey of construction by subscribing to the Mindful Builder podcast. Please note that all advice provided here is general in nature and may not apply to every individual situation. It is important to consider your unique circumstances and consult with relevant professionals or experts for tailored guidance. Use this advice as a starting point for reflection and exploration, and always trust industry professionals when making decisions.
Now, Haim, we are going to be starting something short and sharp each week. We are adding an extra segment to our podcast. We don't have a name for it yet, but we're going to call it The News. The whole idea about the news. So we want to provide a podcast that's maximum 10 minutes each week, and it just goes through some of the big building industry news in Australia. We want to share a positive light onto what's happening, but also, as there's always a number of government legislations and changes, and we want to bring to the forefront things that are happening each week. Now, we understand there could be a few days delayed because we're not newsbreakers every day of the week, but the whole idea is once a week you can listen to this podcast, get a really good rundown of what is happening in our industry, and try bring you some good news stories. So we came up with this idea during the week. We're giving it a crack. We'll see if it lasts, but what could honestly go wrong?
It's probably not necessarily even just good news stories. Well, there is some of it, but I'm looking at what we're here to talk about today, and it's not necessarily a good news. You know, I'm looking at these notes here, and it says Vic Building Plumbing Commission introduces the dodgy builder bill.
Yeah, but the whole idea is we want to bring this. We want to be as completely non-biased as possible. We're going to give you the facts. And then at the end of the day, we might give our opinions. And that doesn't mean my opinion and Hamish's opinion might be different. It might be different to other people, but the whole idea is we're presenting the facts. So I'm going to start here. A piece of news I found pretty interesting this week, and it is the dodgy builder bill for Victoria. Now, what has happened is last year we saw a restructuring of the VBA, and they're now the Building Plumbing Commission. And what the government in Victoria have come out and said, this just isn't a name change. And what this is doing is allowing the BPC improvement notice powers, allowing inspectors to halt work before the defect is covered up, rather than waiting to the end we see a big disaster there. Now, I don't mind this personally. What it's actually also going to do is it's going to stop the phoenixing of businesses, where what would happen traditionally is a builder would fold under a PTY LTD company, which means they would escape any warranty claims. Now, I think this is great. I think for once the Victorian government are doing something good here. It's going to wipe out a lot of dodgy builders, Haim.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think also, though, and I think there's a bit of a note here saying that insurance is going to go up off the back of it, though, and that's something that the builders are going to have to pay and then pass on to clients. And I think in its current climate, I think the only negative I see out of this is just would any decision that's made is leading to an increased cost somewhere along the line that the consumers have got to pick up.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. We reduce one tax, but ultimately, something else gets brought in to pay for something else. Yeah. So it's a bit of merry-goes and roundabouts.
Totally. And I think that just generally speaking, I think the bill has got good intentions, and maybe, you know, a smaller fee for clients to pay, and it's negligible, I think, in the whole scheme of things, is going to result in it costing the system less overall, which hopefully won't lead to builders going bankrupt and ultimately our premiums going up off the result of that. So yeah, no, I do agree. It's a good thing. I mean, one of the other things that I'm kind of reading over here is the NCC 2025 transition and it being paused. Now, I've got a couple of thoughts around this. I think originally I was really against it. I was really against the pause. But after hearing...
Well, it's not pausing every state. Victoria are actually taking it up as of the 1st of May with no transition period.
They're pausing after this new introduction of these new. So I agree with all the changes that have been implemented now. Yes, it's going to be challenging for some builders that aren't building, say, the way that we're building. However, I feel just generally speaking, it's going to be a really good thing. What I don't agree with is the overall pause for until 2028. I don't necessarily
agree
with that.
So I agree there. We've got, so what's happening here at the moment, the final draft has pretty much been submitted for review for NCC 2025. A number of changes specifically around lead in plumbing, that's going to be at zero. You need no lead in your plumbing, which I think is a great thing. But also what we harp on all the time is condensation management is finally being brought into the code, which I think is a great positive. So just for context, Victoria, they're taking it up as of the 1st of May, no transition period. Again, Victoria leading the way on for a change. It's not usually us with these things. New South Wales decided to delay it up until 2027, so they're going to give it a 12-month delay. Queensland have also deferred the adoption until May 1, 2027. ACT, who generally are quite progressive with these things, they're adopting it on May 1st, and there's a bit of a six-month transition period. Don't really understand how that works, but hey, at least they are adopting it. And then we've got South Australia, WA, New South Wales and Tasmania yet to make a comment. I think South Australia frozen the code anyway for 10 years. So, but we will see comments come from them. The two big ones we spoke about, the lead band, lead in your drinking water, not great. We want to reduce that. So this has been something that's been discussed for a few years. So they have had a number of years to bring this across and companies to adapt. There's been a bit of conversation around this at the moment, and that will apply to all things from taps, mixers, water heaters, valves, just no lead, a lead-free watermark.
Yep, which is an amazing thing, and it just blows my mind that it's still something that we can buy off the shelf that has lead in it. I just want to circle back to the freeze of the NC 2025, which, as Matt was saying, is getting rolled out on May the 1st, 2026, so in the next month. If we can introduce as-built verification of 7-star, then I actually don't necessarily have an issue with the freeze until 2028 or 2029. My biggest problem is there are still tens of thousands of buildings out there that are quote-unquote meeting 7-star that I guarantee are not 7-star buildings. If they're going to pause this, fine, no problem, but bring in mandatory as-built verification of these alleged 7-star buildings. That would be the only thing that I would say is missing from this pause.
I 100% agree. Now, another thing, Cladding Safety Victoria, there was a levy introduced to pretty much pay back all the massive combustible cladding rectifications that were happening across Victoria. Now, from understanding, they're decreasing and moving this. They're about to wind it down and wind down this cladding levy that everyone was paying on their building permits for projects over $1 million. And that will now be abolished. And this is going to save developers tens and tens of thousands of dollars per project. So
yeah, absolutely.
I understand that having a levy, I actually think we'll have a mold levy in the future. But for once, that like this would have been such an easy option for them to keep this levy in, to keep money coming through. But for once, they've actually decided to reduce the levy and remove it.
Yeah, look, I don't think it's a terrible thing. Obviously, there was that massive issue with the cladding that we'd seen with those couple of fires. It the Greenwich fire that was the major sort of kickstarter of this one?
Yeah, it was over in a UK. Great Netflix documentary on that if you want to watch it.
I think like if we think of like building costs at the moment, really seem to be death by a thousand cuts. Like everywhere along the line there, there's just micro increases which all add up to something. And any relief on any aspect of our line items in our estimating is going to come, or couldn't come sooner, particularly with the current climate.
Totally, yeah. Now, this one's got me. I think this is the most interesting piece of news I've found for the week. Now, the EPA in Victoria, they have now started a construction dust and mold negligence audit. So what this means is it's an audit program that's going to target construction dust and mold negligence. And the EPA now considers poor moisture management during the build phase as a form of environmental pollution if it leads to mold growth that impacts the health of future occupants. So that's a huge expansion of the definition of pollution. It's really moving from the outside of the building into the inside of a wall cavity. This is interesting. I'm really going to be staying tuned for this one. I think this is being kept pretty quiet because we have a code that doesn't really direct us on how to prevent this, but now the EPA can hold you responsible. I just think this is a big watch this space.
So I don't know if this is like the silver bullet, but it's certainly going to be a big factor in managing your build, which is something that we could all introduce really quickly, is packing up your bottom plate.
Yeah.
If you think about
where,
Yeah, I don't know if we can talk. We don't know if we can talk about the products that are coming out just yet because it's not our secret to tell. But stay tuned for someone who we all know very well in Victoria is going to have something that they're going to offer very soon, which is all. I don't know if it's code marked, but I know that there's been some engineering conversations around it. But it should be pretty straightforward to introduce on your project, which shouldn't add too much more time or cost to your project. However, it's giving you that peace of mind because what is the timber that's the most affected by water, and it's your bottom plates.
Yeah, so this is a really interesting comment from the EPA. I didn't know the timber was wet is no longer a valid defense. The question I have is like, this is going to put a lot of pressure on, say, your Mitre 10, your Bowens, your Bunnings, delivering packs of timber that might have some mold on them. They're going to be held responsible for this too, I would ultimately think, because you want to make sure that they're just not leaving packets out in the rain to get wet. So
I think whatever, like, our listeners should really go and do is go and buy yourself a moisture meter. Go and buy your good moisture meter and check that timber as it's coming on site.
Yeah. Now, finishing off this, what we also want to do is sort of bring you a cool news story, something interesting for the week, something that's happening that may be a technology or discovery. So the one thing that I've found this week, Haim, so researchers at Swinburne University have been able to turn a fungi into a structural and insulating material. What they're doing is mixing, I can't even pronounce these words, a fungi mixed with sugar mill waste or hemp to grow blocks that are breathable and fire resistant. So going to be very, very interesting to see how that holds up. It's saying that these materials can resist up to 1,000 degrees. So there's a thermal insulation layer as well as a fire protection. Look, it's only lab proven at the moment, but all right. I just found that really, really cool. Looking at, is it mycelium cooling blocks?
Mycelium.
That's the word. So mycelium. I think that's sort of cool. We want to bring you just something super quirky and weird in that part of the segment.
My understanding, the trick with mycelium is it just, because it's obviously a big network of fibers, like you just need to make sure that it's redundant and inert or killed so it's not still alive. And then.
Yeah, because otherwise it's technically a mold.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm excited about this little project, little program, what do we call it? A little episode. I think next time we might come at it a little bit more prepared because I only started reading this as we were talking because you gave it to me before we started. Yeah, love it. All right, Maddie, good stuff.
That's the news. So, anyway, thanks, mate. Done.
Yeah, bye.